Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a great reminder as we begin this new year 2025, a song written by Martin Luther between 1527 and 1529. The words, probably are a paraphrase of Psalm 46. But what a great song sung by Greater Vision. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I trust the program will be a blessing as we continue our message, The Wish List. A sermon I preached on the first Sunday of Advent at Flintwood Wesleyan Church, but its message is relevant throughout the entire year. And I pray that it will be a blessing and a challenge to you as we continue that on the program today. I am in Sedona, Arizona this weekend at Christ Center Wesleyan Church, January 10, 11, and 12. Come back home on Monday the 13th and then begin revival services at Eastview Church of the Nazarene in Bloomington, Indiana. That's January 17, 18, and 19. And that will finish out our meetings for the month of January. So I do covet your prayers as I travel to these various locations for the purpose of preaching the Word of God in the context of a revival. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience, for those who have stood by us across the years, for those who believe in what this program is all about, and that is preaching the gospel for the purpose of winning the lost and encouraging those who serve Jesus Christ. We love you today, and we thank you so much for your love in our lives. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel through the medium of radio. I thank you for the stations that carry the program week after week. Bless them and their program directors as well. Well, Father, I pray that the song and the sermon will find residence in our hearts as we listen today, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, I need to remind you that we are a listener-supported program, so if you would pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, it would mean so much, and especially if you could send us an offering of any amount. We are a nonprofit organization. We are faith-based, and you can get credit for your giving. We use it just for the radio program, and you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much for considering that.
May come my way, my life is in. There's another movie out today about a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a great theologian in Germany back in the 20th century. In 1932, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was asked to preach at the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church. It was Reformation Sunday, October the 31st. This was the day when the Germans would celebrate their spiritual heritage. And they would celebrate their heritage much like you and I celebrate the Independence Day of America on July the 4th. Those in attendance expected to have their egos stroked for keeping this grand tradition alive. However, the scripture that Bonhoeffer used that day was just the preface to what would seem like a sucker punch to the Germans in attendance. For he used Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lamp from its place. Bonhoeffer opened with the bad news. And this is what he said. The Protestant church is in its 11th hour. And it is high time we realize this. He wanted to warn everyone to wake up. To wake up from their slumber. Stop playing church was what he was telling them in essence. Few paid any attention to him. Most of those in attendance sided with Adolf Hitler. And we know the rest of that story. What's the difference in a faith and the faith? I'm sure that most of us here this morning believe in a faith. Representatives of a faith can be seen on the skyline of Columbus, Indiana. You drive the streets of this marvelous city of ours, and you see indications of a faith. Over and over again, church after church after church after church. And if our spiritual health was determined by the number of churches that we have in our city today, we would be a people most spiritual. But there is the difference in a faith and the faith. A faith says, well, having Jesus is good, but his lordship is optional. A faith says church is good, but it doesn't have to be a priority. A faith says sin is bad, but I don't have to worry about it and its consequences because the grace of God is limitless. A faith says holiness of heart is for the older, retired Christians. But for practical purposes, it's no longer relevant. A faith says it's not required of a Christian that they be totally surrendered to the Lord. A faith says God is only a God of love, and he certainly wouldn't send anybody to hell. A faith says being a church member, a good person, is all you need to qualify for heaven. In contrast, The faith believes that Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. The faith believes Jesus at the age of 12 astounded the religious leaders of his day in the temple. The faith says Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. The faith says Jesus turned the water into wine, that he walked on the Sea of Galilee, that he healed the lame, the leper, the deaf, and the dumb. The faith says that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The faith says that Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 small sardines and fed 4,000 people. 5,000 people on another occasion. The faith says Jesus suffered at the hand of Herod and Pontius Pilate. The faith says Jesus hung on a cross and died between 2 thieves for your sins and for mine. The faith says that Jesus ascended back to the Father, makes intercession for you and me. The faith says he's coming again to receive us unto himself. Hebrews 11:6 sums it up very well. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's very interesting about faith. It has the distinction of not only being a noun, but also a verb. Now, faith, the noun, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oswald Chambers says it very well. He says, faith always works on the personal line. The whole purpose of God being is to see the ideal faith is made real in the children of God. Faith is the whole person rightly related to God by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. You see, the reality of Israel's spiritual condition was no different from the rest of the culture. They were dead. Their faith was gone. What about yours? Do you have any hope today? Do you have any faith today? They were as dead as a doornail and had no hope. On April the 4th, 1742, Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, he is known mostly for that sweet hymn writer. But on April the 4th, 1742, Charles Wesley preached a sermon at Oxford University. And this was his text from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Awake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That sermon was printed and distributed more widely than perhaps any sermon in the 18th century. It was ground zero for the 18th century spiritual awakening. It began with the trumpet of call of God, proclaiming with authority and power to those who were spiritually dead that they could come alive in Christ. God's wish is that we have faith in him that brings life and hope. Do you have that kind of faith? Second thing on God's wish list, he wished that Israel would pay attention, that they would just listen to him and heed what he had to say. Again, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3. So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, preach to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord and you shall live. Did you notice what he said, oh Lord, you know? He knows us. He knows you. He knew exactly where you are spiritually when you walked in the door of the sanctuary this morning. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows about the things that are hurtful. He knows about the sin. He knows about everything in your life. And I think sometimes, and I'm not here to cast aspersion on anybody, but I think sometimes we think that God's not paying attention to us. But he is. He knows all things. Scripture reminds us that it's not necessary that we tell him what's in us, because he knows. He said, hear the word of the Lord. I was thinking this week as I was preparing this for this service this morning, what's the difference in hearing and listening? My wife has a recliner just about 4 feet from my recliner. And she can say something and I will hear her. But I'm doing something. While I hear her, I'm not listening to her. That's never happened to you, has it? What is the difference between hearing and listening? I wanted to find out. Hearing is the passive act of receiving sound through your ears. You hear it. But listening, on the other hand, is the active process of paying attention and making sense of what you hear, requiring focused effort and intention to understand what's being said. If you're just hearing me this morning, within an hour after this service, you will forget 50% of what I say. If you're just hearing this morning, within 24 hours, you'll forget 70% of what this message has contained. If you're just hearing this morning and not listening, within a week, you'll say, "What did he preach last Sunday?" You'll forget 90% of what was said. Listening. And he says, "Ezekiel, speak to them. I want them to hear what I'm saying. Listen to my voice and you shall live." And when we listen, it changes us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God or speak to us in a way that takes us from one place spiritually to another place, and we grow deeper in our walk with Him, when that happens, there is evidence of that. And people can see the difference in our lives. I was holding a revival meeting in Fredericksburg, Virginia, several years ago. First day of the revival meeting, Sunday morning. Actually, it was Saturday, the first day. Had service Saturday night and then two services Sunday morning. And on that Sunday morning service, a lady came up to me that night after the Sunday morning service and says, "I need to tell you what happened this morning in the service. My husband responded to the invitation. He went to the altar and he gave his heart to the Lord. He asked forgiveness for his sins, and immediately the difference was noticeable. It was real. He didn't just hear, he listened. Has there been a change, or have you just heard?" We've got one of the best preachers in town. And he shares the Word of God from his heart every Sunday. And I wonder sometimes if we just hear and don't listen and don't apply. Just an observation. God wished that Israel would listen to what he had to say. Can you imagine all the sorrow and the difficulty that they could have avoided had they just listened to God? God's wish for Israel was not only that they would come alive through faith in Him, not only that they would listen to the Word of God, but that the impossible would become a reality. "So I prophesied," verse 7 of chapter 37. "I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. So I prophesied," verse 10, "as he commanded me. And breath entered them. They came to life." Can you imagine what that must have meant to Ezekiel to stand there in this valley of nothing but dead, dry bones, disconnected from one another, and see them all of a sudden begin to take form in life? There's a connection between spiritual life and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.